Daniel chapter 3 in the Word of God, please. Daniel chapter 3. For sake of time, we'll begin our reading at verse 14. Daniel 3, verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at the time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, and so forth and so on, a list of musical instruments there, and all kinds of music, ye shall fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to answer thee in this manner. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their other garments, and they were cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. That will be enough for the moment. We'll come back to the reading of God's word by and by. These 3 young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, lived in a society that did not share their values. They lived in a world where most people didn't believe in the true and living God of the Bible. And so they were in a minority, and believe me, just about every day of their lives, they felt the fact that they were kind of a minority. You know, they weren't the major group out there. Now, I don't know if you think about majorities and minorities much here in Spanish Wells. You might say here, well, you know, a majority of us are New York Yankees fans. And you might say, but then a minority of us are wise, and we are Boston Red Sox fans. And I'm only saying that to tune Brother Gerald up. But in any case, you know, we talk about majorities and minorities. And it's hard to be in the minority. Because everybody wants to feel like they're popular, don't they? And you don't want to feel like you're the odd one out. Like you're the one who's always sticking out and looking strange. You want to be able to fit in with the crowd and to look good and to be well thought of. That's pretty much a natural human feeling. And I think all of us go through that at one time or another in our lives. And if we're honest, even those of us who are older, we continue on that way to some extent in our lives. But you know something? There are things that are so valuable that we have to be in the minority, if need be, to hold on to these things. There are things so valuable that we cannot give them up nor compromise them. And the chiefest of these things is loyalty to God. Now, you know what the word loyalty is, don't you? Loyalty means you're going to be true to someone or something. You're going to be dedicated to that person or thing. Everyone here who's married makes a solemn promise before God and man that they are going to be loyal to their spouse, that they are going to be dedicated to that person and that person's well-being. There are other people that will take certain jobs and their jobs require that they take an oath, perhaps, to the government, where they say, I will be loyal to the government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, and I promise to uphold its laws. I don't know this for certain, but I think probably if you're going to be a judge in this country or a lawyer or something like that, you probably have to promise your loyalty to the laws of the land and to the government of this country. So loyalty is a very important thing. But when it comes to loyalty to God, you know, that is the most important thing. Because we live in a world where a lot of things try to take up space in our hearts, where a lot of things try to draw our minds and our hearts away from God, where a lot of things try to fill our hearts. And so there are people that are loyal to all kinds of things out there. But the Bible makes it very clear that ultimate loyalty belongs to God alone. And if we put anything in the place of God, if we give the glory that is God's alone to anything else, the Bible calls that idolatry. Now, the Old Testament speaks a lot about idolatry, but so does the New Testament. The epistle of 1 John ends saying, little children, keep yourselves from idols. And that was a letter written to Christian believers. And so it's something we have to continually remind ourselves of, that we have to be loyal to God and be careful that other things aren't coming in and taking the place of God in our hearts. Friendship is something that God has given to us, but we are never to love our friends more than we love God. Families are something God has created for our benefit, but we are never to put our families ahead of God. Work is a very good thing that God has given us and appointed, but we are never to put our career, our jobs, our work ahead of God. God demands everything. He says we are to love Him and to worship Him, to love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And these three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, although they weren't living in their home country, they had been taken away when they were younger than some of you here tonight, some of the young people. When they were very young, they had been taken away from their homeland of Israel, and they had been put into the schools in Babylon, and it wasn't a nice place like the all-age school here in Spanish Wells. It was a pagan school where they had to learn all about evolution and all about false myths and false gods of Babylon and all kinds of rubbish. But in the midst of all of that, they learned their science, they learned their literature, they learned their mathematics, they learned grammar, they learned all the different useful things that one learns in school. And for the things they were taught that were untrue to God's word, they learned them because they had to, but they didn't believe them. And they always maintain their loyalty to God. Daniel chapter 1 tells us that. Because even in what they ate, they wanted to glorify God. Now, it wasn't like here on Spanish Wells. You guys have a great setup. You get to get out of school early, you know, and or at lunchtime, not early particularly, but at lunchtime you get to go home probably and to eat some lovely boiled fish, you know, or crawfish or conch salad or who knows what, all kinds of lovely things you can eat on this island of Spanish Wells. And you get to go home and eat that kind of food. They didn't have that system for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were given food that had first been offered to idols. And what's more, God, to make His people Israel distinct in the Old Testament, to show that they were different, had given them a different kind of diet and said that they would eat special kinds of foods that the Bible calls clean foods. And so, even back in their school days, they said, we're going to stand with God and we're going to eat only the things that glorify God, only the things that are in keeping with God's word. Now they were a bit older. Now they had jobs. Now they were all working for the government as civil servants. They were making probably a good living. And their careers looked bright. You know, if they kept working hard, they could go a long way. But then trouble struck. Because suddenly the king, this man Nebuchadnezzar, said, we're going to make this great big golden image. It was probably about 90 feet high and about 9 feet wide. You could see that thing for miles around. And when all the people came together, what they were supposed to do, they have this wonderful band out there, you know, I don't know, they didn't have electric guitars in those days, so they had all these instruments that they name here in Daniel chapter 3. A wonderful band set up there, and when all the music began to play, that was to be the signal that everybody would fall down and worship this golden image. Well, you can think about it. I mean, picture it. Hundreds of people gathering out around this image, and all the music starting to play. Now, music can be a very good and beautiful thing. It can be a very God-honoring thing, even as we've heard tonight. But be very careful, especially you who are young, be very careful, because music can be a powerful influence as well. You know, my little girl, she's only 8 months old, but already we put on some music, she'll start rocking back and forth to the music. And she keeps time pretty well, incidentally. You know, another, 10 years or so, we'll let her come up and try her chops with the choir here, perhaps. But that's a long way down the road. In any case, I hear certain kinds of music, even in somebody driving down the road here, and I hear the beat coming, and my body starts to move. So you can imagine, you know, when you see an advertisement on television or something, they've usually got the music booming out at you, and it's meant to motivate you. If you're watching an action movie, and the music, the soundtrack behind it, is usually very exciting music. So you're getting very excited. What's Spider-Man going to do next? You know, what's Superman going to do next? Or whomever. You get very excited about that. And here the music was going to play, and what could be more natural than standing in this big crowd of people to just bow down before that statue? I mean, after all, everybody was doing it. Can you imagine, out of these thousands and thousands of people that were standing around there, when the orchestra began to play, when the band was belting out that tune, and everybody knelt down, here's three guys standing, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, standing up straight. Now, I don't know how many people are here tonight exactly, a good number. If I took you all outside in the parking lot, and I said, now I want everybody to bow down, except for three people. You think it would be easy to pick out the three people that weren't bowing? You say, oh yeah, all I got to do is look over my shoulder, you know, as I'm bowing down there. Oh, those three guys over there. Can you imagine thousands of people? It wouldn't have been hard to pick these guys out. And by the way, they had a reputation already. Some of the high officials came to the king in verse 9 and they said, O king, they said, you've made this edict that everybody should fall down and worship the image. But there are certain Jews, verse 12 says, whom you've set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men have not regarded thee, nor do they serve thy gods, nor do they bow down and worship the golden image that you've set up. And he called them before him, and he got very angry, and he asked them, is this true? Is this true that you don't worship my gods, and you're not obeying my commandment, and you're not going to bow down to this statue? And they said very politely, well, yes, your majesty, that is indeed true. Because we have loyalty to a higher power. As much as we respect you, O king, for your authority, as much as we follow the rules and regulations of this kingdom, as much as we are good citizens and good civil servants, our chief loyalty is to God. You'll notice what they say in verse 16. We do not have to answer thee in this matter. In other words, you don't have a right to demand that we should bow down before this idol. The demand for worship belongs to God alone. God alone is to be worshipped. So we don't even have to answer to you, we answer to God. And they tell him here, verse 17, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hands. Look at that faith. These three men stood up there and said, King, you're going to throw us into that fiery furnace? You think you're going to burn us up? Guess what? The God we serve is powerful enough, great enough, that he can deliver us from the fiery furnace. It's not a problem for God. He has the power. But notice what they say in verse 18. But if not, if God decides not to deliver us from the fiery furnace, and if we've got to go in there and become toast, if we're going to be burnt to a crisp, Your Majesty, we want you to be clear on one thing. We will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. That was amazing loyalty to God. You know, people today say, well, it's all right to follow the Lord. It's all right to be obedient to the Lord's word. But after all, there are some times when it's okay to not follow God's word. You know, it's sometimes when you'd look silly if you followed God's word and everybody else wasn't. So in those cases, it's okay not to follow God's words. I'm sorry, the Bible says that ultimate loyalty, our hearts have to be set on God, and we've got to do what he says, even if it demands our death. Now, happily, you live in a wonderful country where you have religious freedom, and so do I. And I'm very thankful for that, and I trust you are too. But there are some of our brothers and sisters tonight around the world that for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in order to be loyal to the Lord Jesus, they pay for their loyalty with their lives. Because they're Christians, they're given the choice. You either repudiate, you reject Christ and go on living, or you keep Christ and we'll put you in prison, or in some cases, or we'll kill you. And there are believers in the world tonight that are being killed for their faith in the Lord Jesus. Well, the king was furious and threw them into the fiery furnace. The heat was so hot, 7 times hotter than it was usually heated, that even the big, tough marines that he had carry them over to the furnace, they were struck down and killed by the heat. But these 3 men went into the furnace and were unhurt. Whereupon Nebuchadnezzar said to one of his advisors, you know, I've had kind of a bad week and my contact lenses didn't come in and I'm not sure about my vision. But, you know, I never was good at math, but it seems to me, didn't we throw in 3 guys into the fiery furnace? Yes, Your Majesty, we threw in 3 guys. Then why am I looking into that furnace and I see 1, 2, 3, 4? I shan't go any higher. That might call into question my mathematical abilities. But I see 4 guys, says the king. And the 4th looks like the Son of God. That was true. Here were these 3 men delivered from the furnace, not burned, not 1 hair singed. Their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. For their loyalty to God, God did deliver them. And what's more, God came and stood in the fire with them. Now, I tell you something. Whether he delivers you out of the fire, whether he saves your life and enables you to go on living and serving him on this planet, or whether he delivers you through the fire, he allows you to die and takes you home to heaven. One thing this world can't take away from you, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, is his presence. He will be with you. And so loyalty to God is rewarded. If we are loyal to him, he's loyal to us. If we are faithful and confess him, he will confess us. Now you say, what's that have to do with me? Well, even today, if you're going to stand for Jesus Christ on this island, you're going to have to stand sometimes when no one else is willing to. You're going to have to stand up and say, no, the Lord's word says this, and I'm going to follow the Lord's. And that's not going to be a popular stand. You may lose some friends. But in the long run, that is what brings God glory. That is what will bring you eternal reward. Father, we thank thee tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ, for his eternal word, for these lessons that speak even to our own lives and days. We pray particularly for the young here tonight, that early on they'd learn to give their all for thee and to be loyal to the Lord God above all. We pray for we who are older, too, that we'd remember and live by that lesson as well. Help us, we pray, Father. In the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray it. Amen.